May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be holy and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Good morning. Poor old Peter always gets the short end of the stick. The well-intentioned, hard-headed, ever-clueless chief disciple, no matter what gospel you read. There's an episode of The West Wing, Aaron Sorkin's critically acclaimed political drama of the early aughts, where the White House's deputy communications director, Sam Seaborn, played by Rob Lowe, makes a very big and very costly political mistake. The kind of mistake that might get you fired. The kind of mistake that might cost President Jed Bartlet his re-election campaign. The thing he has done is unimportant for our purposes today. After this event happens, though, the chief of staff, Leo McGarry, has a conversation about it with Sam's boss, communications director Toby Ziegler. "You know, it was a screw-up," Leo says, "but I gotta say, I love the way he did it. Full speed, bam, like there's a Sam Seaborn-shaped hole in the wall. Full speed, bam. If nothing else, Peter makes these kind of mistakes. He is the one disciple who messes up full speed ahead. He leaves a Peter-shaped hole in the wall." Now, our gospel today is the end of a story, but it is also the beginning of another. It is the beginning of the movement, a movement that is now 2,000 years old, and it is fitting that the last chapter of the Gospel of John begins with Peter, the one tasked with leadership over this fledgling thing called church. He has not given us much reason for confidence up until this point. Earlier in the Gospel of Matthew, when Peter witnesses Jesus walking on water, he asks to be given the power to come to him, only to get weak in the knees midway through. "You of little faith," Jesus says, "why did you doubt?" Later, when Jesus predicts his arrest and crucifixion, Peter rebukes him, tells Jesus that he would never, ever allow such a thing to happen, prompting Jesus's now famous rebuke, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Finally, as Jesus endures his final interrogation, Peter stands aside in the courtyard among the very people who arrested him. The blunt and brash disciple who would never let such a thing happen is down for the count. "Weren't you among his disciples?" people ask. "Not once, not twice, but three times." And Peter responds in no uncertain terms, again and again and again, "I do not know the man." Today's gospel reminds us of Peter's biggest failure as the resurrected Jesus asks him the same question three times over. "Peter, do you love me? Then feed my sheep." It is almost cruel, and yet this answer is a crucial moment for Peter, a moment that will have repercussions for the kind of leader he will be. Years ago, I sat in a room full of some of the most talented people I have ever met. We were at a training learning how to hone our leadership skills, and we represented every tongue, tribe, people, and nation. It's one of the most diverse rooms I've ever had the pleasure to be in, a group of people from every walk of life imaginable. And the person facilitating this session was talking about leadership qualities. What kind of person is qualified to be a leader? So she asked the room to make a list of what we looked for in a leader. And we talked about courage, confidence, and determination. We talked about the importance of communication skills, as well as the ability to listen, receive, and act upon constructive criticism, Each piece of that is important. We even talked about the importance of having a good sense of humor, the ability to laugh at yourself, the ability to find room for lightness in the middle of a crisis. We ended up with a list so long as to be daunting. Some of the things we suggested seemed to be in direct conflict with one another. We wanted a leader who was both a risk taker and someone who was a careful strategist. We wanted someone who was confident yet also very humble, someone unafraid of the spotlight yet also someone who preferred to lead from behind. As we wrapped up our list, our facilitator asked us a simple question. Do you know anybody who embodies all these qualities? We breathed a collective sigh of relief. The truth is that we were afraid of what we saw as a list of our shortcomings, not our strengths. All of us, each in our own way, had been feeling like we were imposters, that we might not make the cut if we measured ourselves by our very own standards. The point of the exercise was to get us to realize the importance of collective leadership. Out of the many, one, each person bringing their gifts forward, the whole creating something greater and stronger than the sum of its parts. That is the vision Jesus cast on the night before his death as he washed his disciples' feet, that motley crew of the least qualified outcasts. And yet, this collective managed to become great not by virtue of their accolades or social status or leadership qualities, but by their willingness to walk the way of the cross. That is the vision that Peter was tasked with carrying out. A community rooted in faith, grounded in hope, and powered by love, rich in diversity, and yet unbroken in unity. Now, let me return to Peter on the seashore and his conversation with the risen Jesus. I wonder what he thought of the stories people told about him later in life. The stories that populate the Gospels, after all, are the stories that were told and retold in the early church community, and I bet Peter didn't have such a great reputation given what we read in the Gospels. I hope he was able to forgive himself for his betrayals. I hope he was even able to laugh at himself every once in a while. Friends, life is too short to keep worrying about the mistakes that you have made. Life is too short to keep worrying about whether or not you are qualified. And there is too much at stake here, too much to do in this brief window of time we get to leave the world better than we found it, to spend your time worrying about whether you have what it takes to make a difference. Start close in, my friends. Just take one step and then another and see what God can do with a willing heart and a helping hand. You just might be surprised at your very own potential if you simply listen to Jesus on that seashore as he calls out to you and says, "Follow me." Amen.